Hi, everyone around the world. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and Mike is here, and he wants to talk about paranoia. Tell me, Mike, what is it about paranoia?
Who said I wanted to talk about paranoia?
Who you told said. You told
somebody,
me.
Somebody said I'm paranoid? Who said I'm paranoid?
No.
Who said I'm paranoid? All right, here we go.
Talk about paranoia.
All right, my little foray into madness is, I've noticed lately, the last month here in New York City, and I'm sure a lot of cabbies can attest, the last month has been pretty good for cab driving, okay? The day shift is getting out. Apparently, all the cab drivers, in my wildest dreams, I don't know how these guys have the patience to drive daytime in Manhattan, but apparently most of the day shifts are getting out in the cabs, and the peak nights are getting out in the night shift, and basically Sunday through Wednesday are still sketchy. And I've just noticed lately, every time the yellow cab gets a little traction and starts coming back and the cabs get out and the drivers start doing better, whammo, there's always some city orchestrated thing to put up a barrier to our making money or to screw with us at the various terminals. So yesterday's a perfect example, all right? Let me just go down this little garden path here, all right? First of all, as you well know, we hear about Mario Cuomo talking about congestion in New York City. It's like...
No, Andrew Cuomo.
Oh, Andrew. Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. Okay. Andrew Potato Without. Yeah. Andrew Cuomo. Right.
We wish it was Mario. It would be a lot better. So
Mario Cuomo was great. Andrew Cuomo, I don't know what his deal is. But his deal is all of a sudden he's the mayor of New York now. I mean, I don't know if he can get arrested in upstate New York. Maybe he can't. But, I mean, just the rest of the state has had it with him. He's not going to get any political traction outside of the city of New York, so he's nested here in New York City politically, and he's fussing with everything right and left. And the latest thing is congestion pricing, where he wants to charge people a daily usage fee to go into the Central Business District, basically in Manhattan below 60th Street. He wants to charge like cabbies $10 a day, and then he wants to charge truck drivers $25 a day, and blah,
now,
blah,
cabbies,
blah.
Cabbies he wants to charge by the fare, like $2 to $5 a fare.
No, I heard it was he's going to do like a daily
No,
pay.
Forget it. I mean, I don't know where you heard that, but it's in all the papers, Mike.
So the papers are wrong. The papers are worthless these days. In my opinion, I think that's what it's coming down to. It's going to be a daily fee.
Well if it's a daily fee, It would be a lot better than charging every passenger an extra $2 to $5, and the $2 to $5 is based on the time that it's time of day. In other words, he's going to have surcharging.
Right. Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, he screwed up the MTA, and he just LaGuardia Airport is a disaster. So these are two screw ups he's done, and even de Blasio said, The only reason he's not helping with the subway is because Cuomo said he runs the MTA. It's like, okay, you run the MTA. There you go, pal. And there's homeless people and everything else. So not even homeless. It's nuts. But, all right, back to the bus thing with my paranoia.
Right.
We get a little bit of traction, and even the legitimate black car drivers, we're getting a little bit of traction. Business is coming back. The app stuff seems to be winding down just because those drivers have gotten fed up and they're not making money. They see the money coming in at the end of the year from their little app foray into madness, and they're saying, well, what am I doing this for? And they're coming back to the yellow cabs because they can actually make a living driving a yellow cab. So that said, here comes the congestion pricing plan where as soon as we see a little daylight, and how are you going to run a business if you have all this stuff coming at you? And it's not going to be in 10 years. It's not going to be in 5 years. It's like, oh, well, right away, tomorrow or next month, starting. It's like, listen, what the F are you doing with just destroying the livelihoods of, you know, of truck drivers, of cabbies, of delivery people, of businesses, of people coming into the city? I think this guy is just so out of touch because when he drives around, he has a motorcade surrounded by police cars with flashing lights. That's his traffic. That's how he gets through traffic. Anybody else, poor slob, has to muddle through and deal with his mistakes when he allowed 90,000 needless FHV cars put out by the taxi commission onto the streets of New York. So now we have to, in the words of Tony Soprano, un-F what he effed up. And just your thoughts on congestion pricing. I got something else after that.
Here's my thoughts, okay? you know, as if, you know, as having been a citizen of the city of New York for pretty much most of my life. Okay.
Brooklyn born, Brooklyn bred.
Okay, yep. I'm not living there now. Okay, thank mm-hmm. God. All right, but putting myself putting myself back as a citizen of the city of New York. Mm-hmm. This is the way I'm looking at it. I see traffic I can't move in. Okay, right. Subways I can't ride in, and taxes I can't pay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What
are you getting for the taxes? What are you getting for the taxes?
It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is this.
Yeah.
He's asking people to get the hell out of the city and go somewhere else to do their business. That's what he's really doing. And big corporations that have the money to move will move. Okay?
They're out of here.
Now they're trying to get Amazon to come into the city, and Amazon wants to spend $500 million or something like that and create 50,000 jobs, okay, all which pay up to $100,000 a year, right? And the cities are drooling to get them to come. I think Amazon would be nuts to go to the city of New York, considering the conditions it's in right now, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll go somewhere else, and those corporations that create all the jobs in New York will go somewhere else if things aren't straightened out correctly. Okay.
Right. Well, this is what they said. Okay. I mean, right now, with the Amazon thing, I almost fell off the chair when I heard 18% of the people who live in New York City are from here. So basically, a whopping 82% of the New York City born and bred natives get the hell out. And now I'm starting to realize why, because only 18% of the people who live in New York City are originally from here. And let me tell you a little something with Amazon, okay? Amazon mm-hmm. is bragging about their little robot store out in Seattle. Oh, we got a robot store, automatic store, everything is automatic. So here you're going to lay out the red carpet for Amazon. They're talking about jobs. I mean, the one thing Amazon is probably looking for, in my opinion, is where they're going to make the most money. Let's keep it simple. And
if
you open up a robot store on 3rd Avenue and 125th Street, what are you going to do? Where's the employment? I mean, this might be the biggest, you-know-what-off in the history of one of these deals, because if Amazon's goal is drones and robot stores, where are they going to employ 50,000 people to hand out flyers in front of the store? So I mean, right now all this stuff is being done to placate strangers from the outside and screw the natives. So when Cuomo's running, and then our friend from upstate New York, Ed Cox, the genius who runs the Republican Party, he's like, well, who do you got running for Cuomo in the fall? Because Cuomo is up for re-election in the fall of this year. He's like, well, we have, and he said two names of the, it's like, you might as well say, like, you know, Joe Blow and Tony Smith are like two no names that nobody ever heard about. So, and last time a no name ran him against Cuomo, i.e., Rob Astorino got 44% of the vote. So Rob Astorino comes from nowhere, and even a no name gets 44% of the vote against Cuomo, and the press is kissing his ass all the way saying, it's a mandate, landslide. And Cuomo only got maybe 53% of the vote. So this is a whole – that's part of my paranoia with the press, kissing Cuomo's ass every 5 seconds till their lips fall off. I mean, the guy is just a screw-up. Look at LaGuardia. LaGuardia's a mess. Construction all over the place. You got congestion. All right, here's another thing with congested pricing. Is it from – we're going to charge people from 60th Street to – okay, so what happens on 61st Street? We're going to have, like, 10,000 cars queuing up on 61st Street who don't want to pay the toll before they go on to 60th Street?
No, what's going to happen is they'll raise it to 96th Street at some point.
Okay, what happens at 97th Street? You have 20,000 cars sitting on 97th Street?
Well, what'll happen is these people will drive their car into Flushing, take the subway from Flushing. If they're coming from Long Island, they'll drive their cars into the Bronx. Parking lots will park up, will pop up in the Bronx where there were none. You know, people, people will do anything not to pay this fee. Okay.
Well, of course.
When I was living upstate, right, mm-hmm. and I had to come into Manhattan once in a while, you know, with for whatever reason when I wasn't driving a taxi. Okay.
Right.
When I was driving a taxi, I used to keep my taxi in Queens. Okay, so I was always found parking there. But times I had to come into Manhattan, I would take the West Side Highway up in the Bronx. You know, goes through Yonkers.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, the sawmill and whatever. And I'd wind up on Broadway and just above 238th Street where the subway ends. Right.
Right
next to right next to Van Cortlandt Park, and I would park my car there and walk and get on the subway rather than driving to Manhattan.
The
toll is that you would have to pay $25 to park.
Okay.
All right. You know, so rather than do that, I would get on the subway at 238th and Broadway, the number one train, and I would take that down to Penn Station. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm in Manhattan.
Just real quick, let's cut through it. When was the golden age of cab driving between you making a living and all the traffic being okay? If you had one, since you did this through like five decades, I would guess, all or part.
Yeah,
What would you say the golden age was where you could pay your rent, you could get food, you could make a living? If you could just like grab a chunk of time and plop it into today, what years would that be?
1970 to the mid 1980s.
That little 15-year window.
Yeah.
Even with the crime that was horrible back then, even with that crime, you still made a living driving your cab.
It wasn't as bad as you think. I mean, Travis Bickle survived, so I survived. Okay.
For those of you out there, Travis Bickle is the hero cab driver from the movie Taxi. Yes.
Yeah. Robert De Niro. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying there was actually a 15-year window where you did good, not just a few years.
Well, probably long before that also.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you drove in the 60s too, or a little bit, right?
No, I didn't drive at all in the 60s. Okay. I started driving in 1970.
Okay. All right. Because I heard a few guys who drove a cab in the 60s, and they said, basically, it was, you got the cab, and if you got in trouble with the taxi police or with somebody, a passenger, if you got in trouble with a passenger, it would have to be almost like a bloodbath for you to get in trouble with a passenger. I mean, you would have to literally have to drag someone out and pound on them for you to lose your license. I'm not saying that we should do that today, but it's just that back in the days, it wasn't this chicken spit where somebody, you know, gets their hair messed up on because the window is down and calls the taxi commission. That's another thing I want to talk about, all these little chicken spit rules. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. One thing, and I was taking my, I was picking up my cab yesterday. I was all set to go to work. And I take, in lieu of the subways being horrible, I take the Long Island Railroad from Woodside into Penn Station for like $5. What was it, $5 or $6? I don't know. But four or five, let's say $6, okay? Because for that $6 investment, okay, I'm eating $6. It takes 10 minutes to go from Woodside into 34th Street right by Macy's. So it's a shoot like that.
Yeah, you know something? Versus, you know something? Let me say something, okay? You know, the MTA supposedly needs $42 billion, $89 billion. Whatever you give them, they need more, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're willing, you know, how much is the subway fare? $2.75?
That's correct.
If you're willing to pay twice that to not take the subway, then there are probably many other people that would be willing to pay that to take the subway and see improvements. So why are they looking to get money out of us?
Well, I mean, this is my view at night. I mean, if I am taking the train at night, last night, a perfect example, I had to take the subway home from 23rd Street in Manhattan out to 74th and Roosevelt. Now, on that subway, there's every car, on that subway has between 3 and 4 psychotic lunatics sleeping in their worldly possessions in the corner or just sprawled out. And and the people are like, oh, they're homeless. Well, I don't want to sound too cynical, but if you drink every day and you smoke crack every day, there's a good chance you're going to be homeless. Okay, now some of these people are drinking and smoking crack. Some of them are just freaking plain, like, insane, like nuts. And it's not even compassion to let them sleep on the trains, because when you let these people sleep on the trains, you're not solving any problems. You're kicking the can down the road. And I think, like you said, if I could spend another dollar affair, if the night people, right, or the people on something could say, okay, we're going to put this money specifically, 25 cents, to make sure the homeless people do not sleep on the trains, I would spend $3.50 for a decent train ride. I would spend $3.50 for a cushioned train ride where it was on time and no freaking lunatics and no rats and no garbage and just another 50 cents a ride, fine. But every time there's a fare increase hearing for the subway, you get some guy with $400 sneakers getting up, or some lady who says, I can't get to work. It's like, listen, if you're taking the subway from 231st Street to Staten Island for $2.75, I'm guessing the subway doesn't make a lot of money on you, okay? Because, I mean, we have to start realizing that things cost money. And a lot of people in New York City, they don't want to hear things cost money. They just want to whine and cry. But all right. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go. Speaking of Penn Station, let me go back to a cabbie in trouble. We can help a cabbie on the air here. Is that okay with you?
You go.
Okay. I get off the train at Penn Station after my wonderful Long Island Railroad ride that took 10 minutes, which would have taken 45 minutes on that cesspool subway. And I also take a little bus for 10 blocks, because that's enough. So basically, I take a bus for 12 blocks after taking a train for 10 minutes, and zoom, zoom, I'm right where I have to get the cab. Beautiful. In the daytime. And I'm waiting for the bus, and I see a cabbie pull over. Oh my God, he has to let... He's pulling over into a bus stop, and the guy jumps out of the cab, all right? So I guess legally you shouldn't be letting someone off at a bus stop, but, you know, he just pulled over. I don't know if he was letting the person off, but all I know, the guy in the back jumped out and ran away. So All of a sudden, here comes a cop, a morbidly obese police officer who looks... I'm guessing the pizza parlors and the donut shops are safe with this guy on patrol, but not the cab.
This is like a big cat preying on a small mouse.
Right. And, you know, and the guy looks disheveled, like his uniform doesn't fit. He's not even wearing a hat. And he's coming over, like sauntering over in his police uniform. I mean, I didn't even know how this guy got the job, to tell you the truth. But he goes, yeah, hey, license and register. Let me do your license and your hat card. Or hack, whatever it is, your rate card. License and rate card. So Kevin goes, what happened? He goes, you're not supposed to drop off at a bus stop. Now, the cop was standing there where he easily could have said, you can't drop off here, just wave the guy on, right? So instead of...
Yeah, but Mike, you know, it's the higher-ups in the police department that tell these police officers, don't come back without writing so many summonses.
Right. Let me finish.
Okay, but you got to understand that they're under pressure to write anything they can, okay?
Well, we're under pressure to stay in business.
I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that this cop is just a pawn in the game.
Well, pawn or no pawn, he's putting this cabbie out of business, and it was a guy who drove for one of our advertisers. So let me tell you a little more on the story, what happened. So listen to the cabbie, and to... Unfortunately, the cabbie isn't exactly talking like Laurence Olivier. I mean, he sounds like he has a language barrier. So, but he's trying to tell the cop, and then I talked to the cabbie while the cop went off to do whatever he was doing. I said, what happened? He goes, well, I tried to take the right turn on the 31st Street, where it is legal to drop off people for the cab, and there was a traffic cop who told him, no, you can't take the right turn here. You have to go straight. So without any warning, at the last minute, you have a traffic cop, not a police officer, telling the cabbie he cannot take a right turn for the taxi drop. He has to go straight. And so now you got a guy in the back of the cab, a business person who has to go to Penn Station, who can't be dropped off legally because the traffic cop, of her own judgment, told the cabbie, you can't take a right turn, you have to go straight. So the cabbie, as a guy in the back, is now panicking. It's like, well, where are you going? I got to get out of here. So the guy in the back just jumps up, and voila, there's the police officer. And the cab driver told the cop, well, the traffic lady told me to go straight. So the cop goes over to the traffic lady, and you can see the traffic cop has this look on her face like, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. And the cop asks her, did you tell that driver to go straight? And she shrugs her shoulders like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, to save her butt. And right. meanwhile, the cable got a ticket. So I saw the whole thing. So right. I'm going to call up our advertiser and say, listen, I saw the whole thing with this guy. And you know, the other thing is, there are so many tickets now. I think that he's not really going to see the judge for probably a year and a half. Or like a year. So he just
oh,
keeps
yeah.
Phoning,
well, you know. He should call up our friend Michael Spivak, and yeah. he'll help him out. But it's going to cost him a couple of $100 any way you look
right.
at it. All right?
But, I mean, this
you
is know, the thing. Why should it cost him a yeah. couple of $100 if it's just incompetence by a traffic agent and or the police officer? And you said the cop is under pressure. I'm under pressure every day. And I know what you're saying. You get these tickets, and they you have to come
Mike,
back with a...
Mike,
you know, they
it's,
say
it's a
ticket
a day it's a zoo.
I'm
it's
talking,
a zoo.
Please, let me finish
I know.
What I'm saying. God in heaven, please.
Oh, you're,
you know,
you're
ticket a day will...
I just want to interject something, you know?
But you're squashing okay? me. I'm trying to finish
I'm
my
not
rant.
Squashing you. I can't get a word in. Let
all
me
right,
talk
well,
for
okay,
about 2 seconds. It's a Go. Zoo. It's a zoo. All right? That's what's going on in New York City. It's a freaking zoo. And that's why I'm here, and that's one of the reasons I'm here in Florida.
Right, you ran out of here as soon as you got the opportunity. That's what everybody's doing.
That's right. My first chance to get out, I'm gone. I had it. I had it. 42 years of this crap. All right, you think you're talking about something new? This
right.
is going on for God knows how long, and will continue to go on for God knows how long as we have politicians in office that don't give a damn. They only care about the money and how much money they can suck out of people.
Right.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you something. Do you think this is by design to keep these people constantly getting fed up? Do you think they're constantly messing with people? Do you think these politicians want people to constantly get out of New York? I don't think they want people to stay in New York. I think they have a racket where the last thing they want is lifetime New Yorkers. I think that you have a few people in charge who do very well with people getting disgusted and leaving. What do you think about that?
Yes, they do very well. There are a lot of people that get disgusted and leave, and there are a lot of people that don't have the power to leave.
Right. Well, this is
okay.
me. I mean, this is me. And probably a million or so other people who pay for everything. I mean, you got people out here, these deadbeats living in New York. They're fat and fancy. They don't pay for anything. They're getting free of this, free of that, free everything. They're sleeping on the trains. They're drinking booze. They're smoking crack. It's almost now if you're drunk and you smoke crack, you're the big hero because you get everything there for you. It's like, and then if you stop smoking crack and drinking, now you're the big success story. Okay, all you have to do to be a success in New York now. Mm-hmm. In the de Blasio administration is, so long as you stop smoking crack and don't go to jail and stop drinking, then you're the big hero. Anybody else is being treated like a schmuck. And this poor cab driver, like you said, he's going to spend $200 for a lawyer. He's going to probably get points on his license. The judge is probably going to roll his eyes. And as soon as he hears the word cab driver, it's going to be like 90% he's probably going to find something wrong. But from what I witnessed, from this whole scenario, and I'm guessing the cop didn't exactly look like one of their star detectives. He looked like a guy who was, I don't know what his deal, I don't know how long this cop has been on the job, but it didn't look exactly like this guy's like a gym rat. He didn't exactly look like he was on emergency service or investigation or something. This guy looked like he was just, I don't know where they got this guy from. But we should check it out because... And it was raining. He's not even wearing a hat. I felt like the old guy.
Maybe he wasn't even a cop. Maybe he wasn't even a cop. Maybe he wasn't even a cop. You know, they got a lot of fakes of everything. Whatever it is if it's a taxi, there's a counterfeit taxi. If it's an Uber, there's a counterfeit Uber. If there's a cop, there's a counterfeit cop. All right? This is New York. This is New York. This is why everybody loves New York, because it's so bizarre that they just got to be there. Okay?
Yeah.
These people come from Europe. They come from Europe to go to New York. I don't know why. I don't know why. You know?
That's what I'm worried about. These people come to New York now. They can't get into the airport. What happened to JFK 2 weeks ago? This is Cuomo, the genius, with his JFK. He goes, this is what he got. Hey, I know I'm blabbing away, but this is your fault. You woke me up early, and I'm pissed off about all this
stuff. No, you woke up. You don't wake up in time. Go ahead.
All right, so... So 2 weeks ago, I don't, these folks, I don't know if they've been following New York news. We do have a worldwide listenership. I can't believe it. It's great.
I know.
Right. And so Terminal 4 at JFK, which is basically all the internationals. You know, everybody just, it's a beehive of activity, and it's amazing how that place runs. So the other day, I hear on the JFK, I'm such a cab driver, so I might want to avoid Terminal 4, Terminal 4. And I hear, what happened at Terminal 4? So when it was really cold, a water main broke in Terminal 4, water all over the place when it's 4 degrees, and the water is freezing and blah, blah, blah. So you have thousands upon thousands of people coming into Terminal 4 who can't get there. And I had people coming into my cab. They said, oh, we have to sit on the tarmac and be played for 4 hours. We don't know what's going on. I said, it was a water main break. He goes, a water main break. Why didn't they send us to another terminal? And it's like, well, that's a good question. Why did they have 8 terminals there? You would think, okay, one terminal has a water main break. Maybe we should send the plane over to one of the 7 other available terminals. But I guess it took them 4 hours to figure that out. Oh, and then the water main break broke on top of the luggage rack. So the airport people in their infinite wisdom take the soggy luggage and drag it over to some hotel so they figure out what's going on. And then Cuomo gets on the news. He goes, what happened at the airport was unacceptable. And the person, the company that runs Terminal 4, we should investigate. I say, excuse me. What do you mean the person that runs Terminal 4? I thought the state of New York ran Terminal 4. I thought Governor Cuomo, the big shot, ran Terminal 4. Okay, so now he's saying the person who runs, the people who run Terminal. So apparently the Port Authority now, their game is to farm out everything in that effing airport to vendors and companies and corporations. So the days of when the airport was run by people who worked there, apparently now, it's just somebody pays for the right to run a terminal, for the right to run a taxi dispatch stand, for the right to sell Cracker Jacks. So apparently everything is being sold to vendors and corporations to piecemeal to run stuff at the airport, which I did not know. So thank you, Governor Cuomo, for telling me how much of a loser you are, because now you've sold out. Now the other thing is with LaGuardia and JFK, they're both in Queens. Why do we need the Port Authority anymore? Abe, I'll tell you, I think of you basking in Florida sunshine. How are the cabbies doing down there? What's the scene down there for our international
working
audience?
I see them working, you know. I mean, they haven't folded up, okay?
Okay.
I know that Uber and its buddies are operating down here, but, you know, if you go out to the airport, you see taxis, they're making money. You know, just like in New York. You know,
what is their system down there in Florida?
Everything is radio call. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Or app call. They have apps. The apps are on the doors. Okay. Uh-huh. People know what. Everybody knows what the apps are for the taxis.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
And they get used. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But let me just shoot back here for a second. Cuomo is up for re-election, okay? From everything you've said and my thoughts, it appears what he's done is he's created a very big problem in New York City, so now he's going to be the hero and solve the problem he created so he can get re-elected and create more problems.
Right. He's like the Long Island nurse of politics. Remember that, okay. That on Long Island? He used to bring people to the brink of death. So
yeah, and then rescue them, right? Yeah, okay. So this is Cuomo, and he's already in his second term, right?
Yeah, right.
So you know, I'm saying please, no third term for Cuomo. Okay.
Well, so that's the other thing. Why do these guys have 3 terms? I mean, I thought it was term limits. What right does it, these guys shouldn't have any right to have 3 terms? This is ridiculous.
Well, you know, Bloomberg, you know, wanted a third term, despite the fact that the law said only 2 terms. You know,
right.
And he finagled the city council with promises of hard-earned cash, I guess. Yeah. you know, I'll give you money for this, I'll give you money for that. Who knows what right. happened in those closed door meetings? And they gave him a third term, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? And, you know, it just all stinks, Mike. It stinks. The politicians are there for themselves, okay?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, they're not, you know, they don't go there for the purpose of helping the people that elected them.
Right.
Okay? Right. They just give a lot of BS to the people that vote, so that they'll vote for them, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, is there a better system? I don't know. It's supposed to be the best system ever created, you know. Yeah. The democracy, voting for representatives, you know, and you got the lobbyists that pay them off to get their way, you know.
Right.
Well, I'll give you this much money and that much money and this much money and that much money, you know. Then there's the stabbing in the back. Well, I gave you this much money, but you didn't do what you said you were going to do. I never said I was going to do that. I just asked you to contribute to my campaign. You know, well, why would I contribute to your campaign if you're not going to do what I want you to do? You know,
right.
Well, I'm just going to tell you I'm going to do what I want you to do, but that doesn't mean I have to do it, you know?
Correct.
Okay, well, I mean, this is nuts. It's absolutely nuts, all right?
Well, this jumps back to the thing I got to ask you, Abe. So you think there might be some evil plan to make it so horrible where people keep leaving the city versus keeping the people happy? They want to create a system of misery that'll force people to move out. I mean, that's like totally Machiavellian scenario, but at the same time, it might be true. I mean, maybe they create these horrible scenarios to keep people unhappy and constantly turning over and leaving the city so they can maintain mm-hmm. their power base. I mean, I'm just wondering.
I know. All right, Mike, let me change the subject here, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. The other day I made a note, we were talking, and I said, don't talk about it, we'll talk about it on the show. The question was, why are medallions so cheap?
Why? No money. There's no financing. Everybody's scared. Everybody's scared to finance a yellow cab. Now, I mean, right now, I don't know, some of them sold it at auction for pennies on the dollar. I mean, we're afraid.
Well, the bulk of them sold recently for around $180,000. And a few went up to 200,000, and you know, that's it. And it was pointed out, you know, by those who were sponsoring the sale, or you know, promoting the sale, whatever. Okay,
right.
The auction. That well, there's no financing, you know. So, you know, how would you be able to buy a house without financing? You wouldn't be able to pay for the real worth of the house. You would just be able to pay for how much money you can come up with on your own. Okay.
Well,
you know, I would point out here that there are people who own houses that have no mortgages, and if they need a job, they could mortgage their house to buy a medallion. Okay.
Well, this is very good point, because I've said to myself, if the cabs are getting out right now, the math is there, where if you plop down $200,000 in cash, if you chose to do so, the math is there where you can make a pretty good buck driving a cab if you own that medallion outright. Because if you had, let's say, if you had a house, like you said, if you owned the house with $200,000 or $300,000 in equity in the house,
mm-hmm.
and you could get the money for the medallion. We did the number the other day, a 15-year loan for $200,000. At 4.5% would be $1,500 a month. So blah 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 blah. After all the expenses, maybe you're paying $800 or $900 a week. You get a day driver for $500 or $600 a week. So you're gold. But then again, what happens after that? What happens if you get some nut calling 311 on a phone hearing, wants to rat you out? Then you have to sell your medallion. You can really get screwed then. So there's you know, I mean, I don't know how all this works, but you would think there'd be some little cottage industry where someone could jump in and at least lend money on 50-50 basis. I mean, if two cabbies came up with $50,000 apiece and all they had to finance was $100,000, you would think there'd be somebody out there who would say, okay, well, I'll finance $100,000.
Well, it may eventually come to that, okay? Because these medallions were bought mainly by hedge funds, Okay, a hedge fund is, you know, where people say, okay, I'll put up this much money, I'll put up this much money, because they're expecting to get a return on their money. Okay, correct. A much bigger return than they're investing.
Right.
Okay, so look, it's good. There, you know, we're 2 years ago, nobody wanted to take on any new medallions. No lease managers wanted to. You now see ads for some that do want to take on new medallions. Right. Okay, so the drivers have come back. They have more drivers than they have cars available or medallions available, mm-hmm. right? So they are looking for more medallions. Okay,
right.
And what this means is that the medallion never really lost its real value. It just lost its ability to finance that real value.
Well, you know, it got into this whole weird thing where, I mean, you were there for years where you bought a cab under the idea of you're going to drive your cab. You know, I mean, a fleet bought a medallion just for the idea that they were going to run cabs. So the fleet was running cabs, and the cabbies are driving cabs. And the idea that this medallion would balloon up to $1 million really wasn't a part of the equation until the last, like, 5 or 10 years, I would think. You know, I mean, for years, it would bump up a little bit, but the idea was it was more brick and mortar. And that's one thing that bugs me with this whole hedge fund buying medallions at auction stuff. These medallions were bought by, for the most part, first-generation immigrant cabbies who have just been financially destroyed by the so-called leader of the immigrant community. So all these people marching on Broadway about immigrant rights, what happened to the driver who saved his money or her money and their family money and put money down in a medallion and who are now destroyed financially because they owe somebody $400,000 that they can't repay back? What about that first generation immigrant? What about that immigrant's rights? That immigrant's rights have been destroyed. So
they bought a lie.
They bought a lie. They were destroyed by people who were supposed to protect them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the judges can't see
this. I know it's mind-boggling. Okay, they bought what was called exclusivity to the people on the street who are hailing taxi cabs.
Right.
Okay, and then they come up with this thing. Well, e-hails aren't the hail.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I mean, e-hails. Let's say
e-hails aren't a hail. I mean, right. You know, are you serious?
What would happen if? Hypothetically, Mike and Abe, we chip in, we get a bus for $100,000 and start accepting MetroCards. All right, what would the city say to that? If we had Mike and Abe bus and we started running bus routes, we started accepting MetroCard payment or bus payments. What would the city say? Would the city say, "Oh well, you know, we encourage free competition"? No, the city would throw us in jail. So what's the difference between that and running cabs? I mean, why don't they have the same enthusiasm? To not throw the crooks in jail when it comes to cabs.
Well, Uber, in fact, is doing that. With a lot of people in the car, okay?
Oh, they're group ride.
Group rides, right. Uh-huh. Okay? And, there's a headline today, new transit boss vows to shake up the ailing system. Okay.
He'll be gone in a year.
There is a new transit boss. Okay.
Yeah.
He claims he's going to increase the bus ridership. All right. This is in the Wall Street Journal. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The only way he's going to increase the bus ridership is to get those passengers back that Uber and Lyft are taking in their group riding.
You know, you have a very good point. I take the bus. You're a genius. As much as I'm a loudmouth and I'm obnoxious and I keep interrupting you, you just said something that was very, very good. Because I've noticed a few times I've taken buses in Manhattan with a lot of people and at the rush hour, the buses aren't packed. There's a lot of people. I can get a seat on a 5 o'clock bus on 7th Avenue by Penn Station, and the buses are empty. And you just said that now the subways are packed, but the buses, there aren't a lot of people on the buses. And I just dawned on me, maybe these app companies, in fact, are ripping off the buses blind. Because you have a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. They are.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they make no secret about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also that there are ads on the back of buses, of the MTA buses. I hope there's a new guy running the MTA hears this.
Yeah.
There are advertisements on the back of city-owned buses telling people about the wonders of taking an Uber car or taking Via. They're advertising for these app companies on the back of empty city buses that need customers. So I'm just wondering what lunatic approved that or what lunatic signed off on it, because, you know, that's something that dawned on me. Because the few times I take a bus in Manhattan on 7th Avenue South, anybody who knows Manhattan, you're getting in by Penn Station on 7th mm-hmm. Avenue South. I walk in, I pay, and I sit right down. I get a seat. And I didn't even take it for granted, but now that you mention it, when was the last time that happened, where you can just walk on a bus and it's empty and you get a seat? So there's a lot. Maybe you're onto something, Abe. I'll look into it.
Well, it's no secret. I mean, everybody knows that this is going on. I mean, right. I'm not onto something. It's just that, you know, the fact of the matter is that that the buses don't have people, you know, capacity of people that they used to have, you know, uh-huh. because Uber, Lyft, Via, Get, whatever it is, are doing group riding, you know, for the same price as a bus ride, you know, maybe a dollar more.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what they charge. It might be a dollar more. Big deal. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and look, I would rather ride in a car for $375 than stand on a bus.
Sure.
Okay, for $275, right?
Yeah. The other thing I noticed is with these like off-peak buses at night. Why do they have these huge buses running up and down the avenues at night? They should have a short bus or a half bus, like a little like minivan or something, because you don't need a huge empty bus. Avenues at night. I mean, you talk about empty bus, but and I noticed during the rush hour the crosstown buses are jam packed. So you're a traffic expert. Now, if the crosstown buses are jam packed and the north and south buses hardly have anybody in them, why is that? Why would the east and west buses?
Well, probably because the Ubers aren't doing group ridings, you know, east to west. They're just doing it up and down first and second and third and fourth, you know, Fifth Avenue, Sixth Avenue, whatever. Okay,
right.
where the buses are going up the avenues and down the avenues,
uh-huh.
okay, and the buses, you know, it's funny, but the buses have the bus lane. I wonder how many violations do you see in the bus lane?
What do you mean for yellow cab?
I mean, yeah, you're not supposed to ride in the bus lane. Anybody,
right.
Okay?
Okay,
you know they have cameras in the bus lanes, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. But buses have cameras that can take pictures of cars that, you know, in their license plates, you know, as they're traveling in the bus lanes. So
right.
chances are if you're driving in a, you know, in the bus lane, there's a good chance you're going to get a summons in the mail.
So
right?
the buses have cameras in them to rat you out?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sakes. I thought that was just like a rumor. Is that true?
No, that's been going on for a long time.
So does
this started a number
guy,
of years ago.
Now, does the bus guy take the picture or is it just automatic?
No, it's a camera in the bus. You know, he doesn't even, you know, they probably, you know, at the end of a shift, they take the chip out, whatever does the recording. Okay?
Oh, man, that's evil.
You know, and they send out summonses. That's my understanding. I don't know of anybody that has happened to.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right,
but Carolyn. Yeah. Carolyn knows everything. Well,
you're right. She does. She knows everything.
She knows everything.
Carolyn is great. And
Mike, love you. Where are you, Carolyn?
Mike, I just want to say it's time to talk about an issue that has been troubling me. Okay,
uh-oh.
And that is that the rates are not on the doors of the taxi cabs.
This is true. This is an outrage.
Okay, I mean they were schemingly removed,
removed
by our last taxi commissioner and his buddy who went to work for Uber. Okay,
in the third term, by our third term mayor and
right.
his cohort.
Right,
Yeah.
And it's no secret that we would like to have the rates back on the doors of the taxis.
Damn right. Yes.
Okay.
Damn right.
It's no secret, and the TLC doesn't lift a finger to make to rectify this wrong. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I've come up with an idea. Okay.
Okay.
Rates on the shirt.
Rates on
okay.
the shirts.
Rates on the shirt. Rates on the shirt. I designed this all by myself.
Right.
Okay. A beautiful T-shirt, and there are other clothing items. You can get them on at NYC Taxi News. Just click on the pictures of the shirts. Okay. And look, they may be a little pricey, but I don't make the prices. I just did the designing. Okay. But I'll tell you this much. I have two shirts. I bought two shirts for myself.
Right.
I'm wearing them here in Florida. Okay,
right.
They attract a lot of attention, especially in the condo that I live in. It's half of them, more than half of the people here in New York is. Okay,
right.
All right, and I have put the rates on my shirt. Okay,
good.
Beautiful yellow, all cotton, 100% cotton T-shirts. Okay.
And the quality product. It's not junk, it's a quality product.
The shirt is absolutely worth the $20.49 that you have to pay for it. And any big fleet owners out there, you can get up to 70% off that price depending on the number of shirts you want to buy.
Great.
Okay?
Oh, wow, that's great.
All right. Now, I envision 300, 400, 500, 600 taxi drivers wearing these shirts at the holding lot at JFK Airport, walking around the streets of Manhattan with the shirts, standing next to their taxi in front of the hotels with the shirt on, so that people can finally know what the rate is to JFK Airport and not have the doorman lie to them and tell them, the taxi is much too much money. Well, we'll only charge you $85 for that black car over there.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so please, everybody listening to this show, keep this in mind. Pick up a shirt. Please, pick up a shirt. Go to NYC Taxi News. You see the shirts on the front page, you'll see the shirts on the message board. I've put it in different spots on the website. You can't miss it. Okay. On the front page, it's in a revolving ad that's on the front page, and you'll see the revolving ads in the shirts will come up once or twice. Okay.
Very good.
And if you don't want a shirt, we have coffee cups too. All right. With the rates on the coffee cup. All right.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about the sponsors. Speaking of finance, let's talk about our sponsors, the people who make this happen.
Our sponsors, the real sponsors?
Yeah, the real sponsors.
Okay, we have the MTBOT.
Uh-huh. And they are, what is it? We keep saying the acronym. What is the MTBOT for people who don't
Metropolitan Taxi Cab Board of Trade. They've been around forever. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, as long as I'm driving, I'm aware of them. All right. Mm-hmm. And they give free defensive driving and wave training course instruction, free online TLC application and renewal processing, free legal representation at oath, Port Authority, Traffic and Criminal Court, and free experienced MTBOT staff members to work directly with the drivers. You can call them at 718-784-4343 and ask for Canchan Das.
There you go.
Okay, And your friends at Checker, Mike?
My friends at Checker, 718-361-6300. They're located in Long Island City at what is that address again, on 38th
Avenue? 1105 38th
Avenue. 1105 38th Avenue. They're a 24-hour full-service taxi garage. They got full-time, part-time, weeklies, dailies. Now, the thing that's great about Checker, you can go in there, they have they have some Priuses. They're now getting some RAV4s, believe it or not, so that's good news. They have some Camrys. They have the NV200s. And you can go in there and say, yeah, I want to rent a cab for a week. And you can rent a cab for a week. You're not hung up where you have to rent the cab for 6 months or a year or 2 years. If you, let's say, are driving a couple days a week, then it's like, oh, man, my phone bill is due, my condom is due, I got to work every day. You can get a cab for a week. And then bring that cab back when your finances are straight again, which a lot of cabbies do. I didn't know how many cabbies do that. You get guys in there and gals who are renting cabs for two or three shifts a week, then all of a sudden they get crunch time with their rent, and they take a van out or a Camry out for a week, and it works out. I mean, they don't have to buy the car. They can just run it and, you know, do it for like a week and then bring the cab back and go back to their usual part-time routine. But they will have all that information. So call them at 718-361-6300. That's 718-361-6300. And, Abe, time. Also, you want to talk about the Lions at the gate on your website. Who are those Lions?
Well, the Lions are – before I talk about the Lions, I want to talk about WB Taxi.
WB okay? Taxi.
3511 43rd Street. All of their day shift rates and night shift rates are listed on NYC Taxi News front page. Just log on. Phone number is 718-729-7777. Okay, and very convenient location, just over the 59th Street Bridge. Okay, just a short walk from the number 7 train. Okay?
Right.
And now the two Lions are the two bankruptcy attorneys, and that would be Glenn Kessler. He's in Brooklyn on Court Street, okay? If the credit unions are closing in on you, you consult with them and they'll help you. 718-488-9100 for Glenn. And we have Peter Joseph, and he's 212-924-1498. Okay, and he's somewhere in Manhattan, I believe, but he'll come to you also, I think. All right? Okay, and then...
And another, we have another Lion at the gate. I'm going to promote him, the Lion at the gate, too, because he's protecting your money as well. We're a very good accountant. I've heard very good things about this person. Go ahead.
Tony Tax.
Yeah.
Okay, he'll come to you. He's located in Queens, but he will come to you wherever you are. 718-413-6126. It's tax time. Don't forget to do your taxes because you don't need the problems that it will create if you don't do your taxes.
Right.
Okay.
And the one thing is with that is you have to do it because everything is, you know, on a system and a computer. And there's a lot of stuff that you don't know you're allowed to deduct. And there's a lot of stuff that guys deduct where it's red flag stuff and getting in trouble. And there's a lot of stuff that guys don't know about, and you're allowed to. So you get a guy like a Tony Tax to help you out, and, you know, I mean, you get all these people with these kitchen table accountants. You don't want to get into that anymore. You want a professional, and Tony Tax, from what I've heard on the street, is doing a very great job for Cambies. Thank you, Tony Tax.
Okay, and that's about it. We've done a pretty good show, I think, up to now. All right.
This is a very, very up to now. You're going to curse me out.
Now I'm going to curse you out. Okay. I'm going to say this. Stay on the line. I have one or two things I want to talk to you about off air. Okay. But say goodbye right now. Okay.
Goodbye right
everyone.
Now. Goodbye,
okay.
Everyone. Thank
goodbye,
you
everyone.
For
thank you for tuning in.
We are famous worldwide now. This little show is happening. And Abe, I've got Cambies at the airport recognize my voice from this online show. So
yeah,
if I'm ordering coffee, he goes, "Hey, aren't you from the mic?" I said, "What?" And I get scared because I think it's like, okay, I'm not used to that. But then they listen to the show online. So we're very proud of that. We worked hard to bring the show to you, and Abe, you've done a hell of a job with all your geek stuff that you do. So you've mastered the internet. Well done.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, world. Thank you very much, world.
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.